And when he started to tell Peter about it, Peter felt the need to inform Jesus and let him know that he was wrong. He needed to bring Jesus up to speed because apparently Jesus hadn't read the latest news. And so Peter just had to kind of correct his thinking because obviously Jesus got this one wrong. And so in Mark chapter 8, 31, it says, as he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and 3 days later rise again. He spoke this word openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Wow. So in one single conversation, Peter goes from being the man of the hour with the answer to the million-dollar question to being a pawn of Satan who had to be rebuked. Don't you hate days like that? You ever had a day like that? Man, one moment you are cooking with oil, man. Things are going right. They are clicking. Everything is going right. You think, I can't do wrong today. I might as well play the lottery or something. I might as well do everything I plan to do in my life because things are so good. And the next thing you know, a moment later, man, everything has turned to crap. You ever had a day like that? What in the world? You're like, whoa, how did that happen? Easy come, easy go. Peter didn't realize this was not some earthly political kingdom that Jesus was all about. It wasn't about political favor and winning the popularity of the masses. Man, people are so fickle. You don't ever want to bank on the popularity of the masses because people will turn on you in a heartbeat. You see it all the time. But it was all about establishing not some earthly kingdom, but the kingdom of God. And it was all about delivering them from a bondage they didn't even realize they had. The bondage that they had and that a person has under Satan's rule when you are not liberated by Christ is worse than any earthly oppression you can imagine. Because when you check out of here, you never, ever get free unless you find freedom here. And Christ was all about delivering them from that horrible rule and that horrible oppression and those horrible chains so that they could be free not only in this life, but forever and forever and forever and forever. But in order to do that, that meant Jesus would have to face rejection. He'd have to face persecution. He would have to be misunderstood, misquoted, misrepresented, and ultimately hated by the masses. And I've got good news for you. That also means that anybody else who follows Jesus had also better be ready to be rejected, to be persecuted, to be misunderstood, misrepresented, misquoted, and even hated by the multitudes of people. Because we follow Him. Aren't you glad you came today? Isn't that exciting? Isn't that thrilling? Praise God. And that's why Jesus warned the people and why He is warning us today. This gets better, by the way. I know you're thinking, this is so depressing. But that's why Jesus warned us, and I don't want us to miss His warning. For all the joy that God has, we don't want to miss what He's saying here. In Mark 8:34, He says, when He called the people to Himself with the disciples also, He said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will do what? Will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake. But whoever loses my life for my sake and the gospels will do what? Save it. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You're at a Yankee swap. And someone says, "Oh, by the way, I've got your soul." Want to trade? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. So I don't know, maybe Liam Neeson was feeling a little bit of shame. Maybe he was a little embarrassed. Maybe his Hollywood actor friends weren't really down with him playing the part of such an exclusive guy like Jesus. Maybe he felt a little pressure from Hollywood. Maybe he was thinking, man, if I really play this up, I might not get so many more jobs in the future. This might cost me my reputation. This might cost me my career. They might start banging on me like they were banging on old Mel back in the day. Maybe he just wanted to kind of soften the message a little bit. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what was going through his mind when he said that. I don't know why he couldn't just let Aslan be who C.S. Lewis said he was. And just take a stand and say, yes, this is my Savior. This is my Lord. This is the one who rescued me. This is the one who loves me, who cares about me. This is the one who would rather die than live without me in heaven. I don't know what went through his mind, but I do know this. I don't ever, ever, ever want to be ashamed of Jesus. I don't ever want to be ashamed of Jesus. Man, I want His name to grace my lips every opportunity that God gives me. What a beautiful name to come out of our mouth to say the name of Jesus. How much He loves us. I don't ever want to be ashamed of Him. Why should I be ashamed of someone who loves me so much that He would die to have me? And we have this promise that if we will embrace Him and follow Him and confess Him before men, He will confess us before God. We have this promise that if we are not ashamed of Him, He will not be ashamed of us. He says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father and the angels of heaven. But then He gets even better than that. He says, if you're not ashamed of me, I'm not ashamed of you. Hebrews 2:11, it says, both the one who makes men holy, which is Jesus, and those who are made holy, which is you, us, are of the same family. So Jesus, and I love this. If you take nothing else home, take this home today. It says, so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He, amazingly, is not ashamed to identify with me. Sometimes we struggle with that. Sometimes we think we are just not worthy. We think about all the things that we have messed up and all the ways that we have screwed up and all the people that we have hurt, all the promises we've broken, all the things we've done wrong, and how limited and how human we are. And we think about all the things that would have been or should have been or could have been. And sometimes when we think we want to come to Jesus, we think, but you know, why would He want to hang out with me? Why would He even want to associate with me? Why would He dare? How could He possibly see anything in me?